to awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that everything is energy, and that energy is interconnected and interdependent. In essence, that energy is one thing. And quantum physics is now catching up to spirituality and ancient wisdom, which has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons. And also, I believe that when humanity awakens to this universal truth of oneness, that there will be peace on earth. Because what you do to another person, you're literally doing to another aspect of yourself. Today's show topic is The Gift Within Us with Marianne Borer. Welcome, Marianne, to Awake to Oneness Radio.
Thanks for having me, Caroline.
Thank you for being my guest. So, Marianne, please, I would love for you to share with our listeners your journey and what you do. Share your author of the book, The Gift Within Us. Please share your journey with us.
Okay, well, thank you so much. This has been a beautiful journey. I mean, just like everybody else who listens to the show, probably I am pretty spiritual. Raised Catholic, but whatever. For me, spirituality really doesn't have a set tradition. I mean, this is just, we're all in different places. Some are religious, some are not. To me, it's irregardless. It's how you treat others and how you experience this journey, which I think is like a school when we're born. You get wonderful things, not so great things, but you're on a journey, and it's how your soul grows and expands during this journey that, you know, and how you work with others to make a difference that really counts.
Yes.
So anyway, I was, I'm a PR person by trade.
Okay.
And I was working in New York City. I worked there for 12 years at top PR firms. And in the middle of this, just before the year 2000, about 3 years before, I had a smallish client who owned a lot of franchise restaurants in Manhattan. If you went into a TGI Fridays or a Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, they owned those franchises.
Okay.
For some unknown reason to me, they erected a digital clock in the middle of Manhattan on 34th Street that was counting down the days and seconds and minutes to the year 2000. This was in 1997. And
okay.
You remember how scared people were of the millennium?
I remember not, what is it? What was it called?
The Y2K.
Y2K. I was trying to figure that out. I was, oh my goodness. And it seemed like that was yesterday.
It's 20 years ago. It's actually
20 years ago, and it seemed like it was yesterday. Yeah,
the 20th anniversary of the millennium right now.
Yes.
But my client, for whatever reason, was putting up this big digital clock. I think he was inspired back then. Do you remember there was a big national debt clock ticking, something about the national debt in Manhattan? Anyway, he put this clock up. He had logos of all the restaurants around the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, from a marketing standpoint, no offense, but is that going to make someone want to go into a Fridays and get a burger? No. But he wanted national press for this digital clock, the millennium
clock.
Right. So I thought, what am I going to do to get national press? And I don't even really use the word idea anymore, because I believe a lot of my so-called ideas are inspired.
Yes.
In spirit.
Yes.
But I had the thought, okay, I'm going to find some of the most gifted intuitives, psychics, mediums, those words are loaded, but intuitives, to come and do a press conference about what's going to happen in the year 2000 for journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick was to find really highly gifted people. I could have been lazy and just gone down the street to storefront psychics.
Right.
But I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
So I did some research, word of mouth. I had some readings and very gifted people. I found 24 highly gifted people.
Awesome.
And they came and they sat at a TJ Fridays, speed dating style, each one at a different table.
Mm-hmm.
And the media were invited to come and spend a couple minutes with each one and go from one to the other, ask them personal questions, celebrity questions, world event, whatever.
Right.
75 journalists showed up. You would not believe
Wow.
That's enormous amount of press for something like this.
Yes.
Now you'd expect Inside Edition Entertainment Tonight, they all came, but also the Wall Street Journal, CBS Evening News, you would not believe the turnout.
Wow.
So from that perspective, and it was a huge success and generated tons of national and even global press.
Yes.
The reason I mention this is, about the book is two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from the Wall Street Journal came up to me afterwards and he was just completely devoid of blood. His face was pale and he was shaking and he said, "Marianne, I confess I came here to make fun of these people," which is what people often do.
Especially 20 years ago.
But he said, "I'm still in shock because they were so accurate. I'm in shock now." So that was thing one. A lot of the press treated this very wonderfully. There was one gal who's very gifted who came, but she had like a satellite dish for a hat. I mean, she looked like the psychic with the crystal. So they all zoomed in on her, of course.
Okay.
But so there were those silly kind of placements, but it was also very good. The second reason, though, not only was it a professional success, I became friends with a number of the gifted people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just friends. I felt like I'd found a family.
Yes.
Okay. And these people from all over the world, all over the country mostly. And so for the past many years, I became, as a communicator, annoyed with how they were perceived by the public or misperceived. Mm-hmm. They lumped anyone with that title, psychic or medium, which is what psychic is a loaded word for me, for anybody, into one ugly group. They have to be fakes or charlatans trying to take your money, making up stories. And the truth of the matter is, many of these people were born that way.
Yes.
And many as children were either frightened by it, they didn't know what was going on, they struggled. Many were bullied as children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some just thought it was a lot of fun play. They were talking to grandpa from who was deceased, they didn't know. Some were accepted by their families, that was there. But it was much more of a struggle than people understand.
Yes.
Some, there are funny stories where some, like they'd play in the playground with a bunch of boys and they would all get into trouble, but this one guy who was psychic, he could take his name off the teacher's list so he wouldn't get punished, you know. So, and maybe they do better on a test. So there's those kind of stories too,
right?
Anyway, there's a lot of humanity to these stories. And so I started writing profile chapters about all of these gifted people, and I ended up with 33, which is a master number, as you know.
Right.
Stories, profile chapters of gifted people, and they're not small. They're like 7 to 9 pages. I interviewed each person, taped it, transcribed, wrote it up. It's mostly in their own words. They approved it, and so these profile chapters exist in my book. But it's not just a book about gifted people. Okay, but it was a starting place because I know famous psychics and mediums, you'd know their names. In fact, James von Prague.
Yes.
He wrote a wonderful blurb, and it's on the cover of my book. He's friends with one of the gifted people who's in my book, Kelly White, who's from Beverly Hills. She said, "You have to talk to my friend James." And I said, "Who's James?" She says, "James von Prague." I said, "You know what? I'm only interviewing gifted people that no one knows." She goes, "He doesn't need to be in your book. He just wants to talk to you." He was so lovely. I can't tell you. We talked for over an hour.
Okay.
So anyway, but I started writing this book, and initially it was going to be to talk about how these gifted people should be, you know, treated differently, et cetera. Well, organically, as these things do, it grew.
Mm-hmm.
And spirit, my guides, whatever, however you want to call it, were basically telling me, okay, you need to talk. I found out about Dean Radin, who is that scientist that does research about psi that we both know.
Yes.
He referred me to the show.
Yes.
I began to look into Dean Radin's work, another gentleman, Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona.
I know Gary. He's been on guest. Yes.
He's wonderful.
Yes.
Russell Tark, who you may know. There's others. I interviewed them, and because just like you, for me, the science is really important. And I have them in a chapter called Today's Brave Paranormal Explorers.
Yes.
Because in the scientific community, these men, it's mostly men, are looked upon like, in public anyway, like, what are they doing? You know, that stuff's crazy.
Right.
In private, these same people that say that, these academics will come up to them and say, you know, I had my own experiences.
Yes.
So So it is very brave of them to do it, because there's a taboo in the scientific community about studying these things, and very few scientists are doing it. And these scientists, as you know, they come from the top universities. Yes. They're highly intelligent and accredited. They just take this so seriously, and they've committed their lives to doing this important research.
Yes. Yes, and the same thing with doctors in the medical community. Because especially in the medical community, so many medical professionals actually witness things like, you know, people when they leave their body and all that. And then they're afraid, it's taboo to talk about it. But now they are starting to come out. I've had one doctor who is retired, but now he was always able to see spirits. Yeah. You know, but he didn't talk about it while he was practicing. He was a top surgeon and everything. He had one, there was one nurse who also could see them and hear them that he could talk to and communicate. But he, now that he's retired, he's written his book and he does talks about all of these, you know, miracle experiences or spiritual experiences he had while he was practicing medicine. So yes, I understand exactly what you're saying.
And that's a shame. And I applaud these people who are coming out in force about this, because you're like you, I mean, I felt this through spirit anyway, but when I came upon their research and their bravery and what they're finding, it was something that had to be a part of my book.
Yes.
So in addition to these 33 profile chapters about gifted intuitives, I have chapters about people like Dean Radin and scientists that are studying psi. I have a chapter where I interview academicians about how people who had these gifts were treated throughout history.
Yes.
Which fascinates me, because of course at once they were revered by kings, etc. It went through different stages. Of course, the witch hunts, we all think was about, it has nothing to do with intuitives, the witch hunts. You would think it does. Mm. Back then, that whole period, people could call each other witches, and out of spite for their neighbors, and it didn't matter, it didn't have to do with being intuitive. I didn't know that. I always assumed witch hunts were torturing people who were intuitive, so it's not. But the whole chapter deals with that. I have different chapters about different people, like, different scientists who, you know, predicted that Galileo, the world is not flat.
Right.
And that were maligned in history about their findings, like Joseph Lister. He said that you need to wash your hands because germs spread disease. Everybody thought he was crazy. And there's little vignettes about different scientists in their day who were right about something, but were put through the mill.
Yes.
And I put that in because I think these gentlemen are also very brave and have been put through a lot, but they persevere.
Right.
So there's those chapters. I also have some other chapters about my own personal experiences with having been called. I won't go into it, it's a long story, but it's a chapter in the book. Years ago when I was doing PR in a big PR firm called Hill & Knowlton, I was promoting essentially Doritos and potato chips and Frito-Lay, you know, Quaker Oats and things. And I thought,
junk
what
food.
It was great food. You have food in the office.
No, I said junk food.
Well.
But it's okay. It's okay.
Spiritually, I just thought, what am I doing with my talents? So
right.
We were allowed to do pro bono PR for different causes. And I chose domestic violence and child abuse because nobody then was talking about it. So long story short, because it is a long story, it's in the book, but I started doing free PR for a toll-free domestic violence hotline. Back in the day, there was only 1-800 number for battered women to call. And that was important because if your abuser saw you call the local shelter, you were in trouble.
Yeah.
So this hotline was getting about 2,000 calls a month. I started getting the lady who ran it on the TV shows like The Today Show and everything. And unbeknownst to me, this 501c3 nonprofit, I get a call one day from Johnson & Johnson, and they said, this is Larry Lux, I'm director of marketing. Marianne, did you not know that we 100% fund this hotline? Mm. If you buy, as a part of a cause marketing program, if you buy Stay Free pads or OB tampons, feminine protection,
yes,
portion goes to fund this hotline. Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman, was their paid spokeswoman for $1 million a year.
Okay.
And he said, in 2 months, you've gotten more PR about this hotline than our PR firm, I won't name the name, big PR firm, has been gotten in 2 years.
Wow.
So he said, I want to hire you and fire them. And and I ended up leaving the firm and getting four times my income to do PR to raise awareness about battered women and domestic violence.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's a beautiful story. But what goes on is after 2 years of doing this and getting every magazine to write about domestic violence, including Brides magazine, mm-hmm. here they sell wedding gowns and China patterns, but they wrote a story called What to Watch Out For Before the Wedding Bells, because a lot of abuse happens before you get married.
Oh, yes.
And that was very brave of them to do. So, you know, because they could lose advertisers.
Right.
But anyway, after 2 years of doing this, Larry, my client, called and said, I'm leaving J&J. My wife has MS and we're moving back to the Midwest. So I felt bad that he was leaving, but I wished him well. And by this time, the calls to the hotline went from 2,000, now 2 years later, 12,000 a month. A lot of women were being helped.
Yes.
But I get a call from the new lady that replaced Larry a couple weeks later, and she says, I'm cutting the hotline. We're not funding it anymore.
Why?
I believe it's an ugly topic for J&J to be involved in. Domestic violence, it's just not a place we want to be. So they cut the funding, and Family Circle magazine called me a week later and said, Marianne, we've written a story you pitched, because I'm a PR person, about battered women in the hotline, but we understand the hotline doesn't exist. Can we use your home office number for the battered women to call? And I had a little apartment in the Upper West Side. They could not, 12,000 women could not call my number.
Right.
So I said, no, you cannot. Let me figure something out.
Oh, right.
Phone down. And this is my first spiritual PR campaign, as it were. I literally heard like a radio turned up in the background, call the White House, call the White House. Now, mm-hmm. I immediately thought, I'm losing my mind. I've gone crazy. I mean, call the White House? Where's that coming from?
Right.
So I ended up calling the White House, and I got a meeting with Mrs. Bush, the white-haired Mrs. Bush, and her staff.
Okay.
Because I wanted to tell them, we need a federally funded toll-free hotline. It shouldn't be up to a corporation like Johnson & Johnson to fund it.
Right.
And they had me down for a meeting, and because I was flying there on my own dime, I had meetings with Joe Biden's office, our candidate, Senator Dan Coats, Congresswoman Connie Morella, and a couple others, to tell them we need a federally funded toll-free domestic violence hotline. And they said, thank you for letting us know. One lady, the congresswoman, said, I'm going to put in what's called a concurrent resolution to get the ball rolling to get funding for this hotline. Well, I just let it go. And about fast forward a year and a half later, I'm in a ballroom in Hilton Hotel, Midtown Manhattan, a big luncheon, women honoring other women. Jane Pauley's over there. There's different celebrity women and wonderful politicians. And Tipper Gore is standing at the podium, because now the the Bushes were out and the Clintons were in.
Okay.
And she's bathed in light in this darkened ballroom. And I'm sitting there, and she says in her speech, and I'm proud to announce today that we're the first administration to fund a federally funded toll-free domestic violence hotline. So I sat in the with goosebumps, because what I had been called to do,
yes,
and nobody in the room knew I had anything, nor did I care.
Right, right.
Came to fruition, and that hotline has celebrated its 20th anniversary now. It's federally funded. It's now, instead of Michigan, it's out of Texas.
Awesome.
And it helped. So that was like, thank you for utilizing me, okay?
Yeah.
And the reason I tell that story is because, I mean, I've done PR campaigns for everything from Miss America to the NFL to Pfizer to whatever.
Right.
But that, being called to do that and being, and I had no clue. Here I am profiting four times my income.
Right.
To do things to help you when I went into it for free.
Right.
But I was aware that I was being what I call utilized, which yes. I'm happy to do.
Yes.
This book is another one of those experiences where I call it being drafted.
Yes.
Frankly, I never went into this to be rich or famous, to make, it's really like, okay, they've given me this tough assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do my best to do it.
Right.
And I get a lot of input from them, the powers that be.
Yes.
And that's why I'm here. So the message of this book, which we can talk about later, yes. is a very simple one that all of us should listen and learn. And it's easy to do.
Yes. Yes. To listen to that. That small voice within you, it's called the White House. That will, we get messages like that all the time, and we just ignore them. Like, but you didn't ignore that message.
So no.
we our inner being, our high, I use the term higher self, doesn't matter what you want, we are connected to the divine, all of us.
Yes.
And the larger part of us, our higher self, the divine, God, source, whatever, universe, whatever term you want to call it, doesn't matter, but we're connected to it. Mm-hmm. And it's always, always, always whispering and guiding us, but we get so busy with mundane every day and our I call it the monkey mind. It's always get those small whisper, call the White House. Like, wow, that's silly. But you just ignore it. You know, but yes, this is so true. Very true.
I want people to know also though that the steps to listening to this inner voice, we all, by the way, we all get it. We all get those hunches, those gut feelings. We've all had it.
Yes.
Right? But the difference is that, and it's not like a faucet. You can just say, okay, tell me right now. I want to hear. You need to receive it when it's coming.
Yes.
But it is there for us. And especially if asking you shall receive, you don't always get the answer because maybe you're meant to struggle sometimes and learn. Mm-hmm. But often you do.
Yes.
And the message that I have is I'm the worst meditator in the world. I'm a, you know, they have to get me in the shower or at 4:30 in the morning before I woke. They get me though.
Uh-huh.
But if I had to sit there and hold crystals and meditate on my chakras, and I'm not putting that stuff down because it's very valid for many people.
Yes.
But for me, what I learned is that it's right there at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. The only thing is that in order to listen and to hear it, we have to take our ego down a couple of pegs and be humble. Now, for a lot of people, that's almost impossible. But that is a key because if we're all about us, we're not going to hear it.
Yeah,
and the other thing I want to tell you is that we are, I don't know if you have children, but I have a daughter and I love my husband. I love my mom. I love my family. My mom's deceased, but there's something about loving people and especially a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond what you can describe. But what came to me from them is, and I say them, is that they love us with that intensity 20,000 fold.
Yeah.
They total every single last one of us, I don't care what you've done, who you are, they love us so much and they want to connect with us. Not spooky, they're not going to have visions and all that. They're wanting to impart their wisdom and their guidance to us, just like a parent would.
Yeah,
and one morning my guides woke me up and said, write this down. And they said, can you imagine if you had 25 kindergarten kids in a room, classroom all day, nobody there, no supervision. Can you imagine the mayhem, the fighting, the tears, the craziness that would go on in that classroom?
Right.
He said, that's kind of what the world is like without us listening. Because we need their divine guidance now, personally and as a planet, more than ever.
Yes.
So we need to tune in. And we don't have to think we have to be master meditators to get there.
Exactly.
The last thing I'll blather on about is they gave me another assignment one morning. I woke up. Do you remember The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
The movie. You know, Dorothy, she goes through all this rigmarole to get back to Kansas. The monkeys are flying and attacking her. And to go, that movie seemed to go on for hours when I was a kid. I loved it, but it was like, good God. And she gets to Oz and the wizard can't get her back.
Right.
And Linda, I don't like the name witch, but whatever.
Right.
She comes down and she's there. And Dorothy's gone through all this, and Glinda says, but Dorothy, you've always been able to go back to Kansas. And that's what they told me to say, because it's right here. You don't have to have super psychic ability like the people in my book. You don't have to even have this religion or this church you go into every day or any of that. You can be a sinner. You can be someone who is completely atheist or whatever. We all have access to that beautiful, brilliant, divine wisdom and guidance. And it doesn't have to be attached to religion. It really transcends religion, to be honest. You can be religious. You can go and you can do whatever you want in those ways. That can maybe supplement it. But we are so loved and they want to communicate with us. And that's the message of the book. That's why it's called The Gift Within Us. And the subhead is intuition, spirituality, and the power of our own inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
The inner voice, you don't, again, have to do anything special to access it. The only trick is if you're just so full of ego and you're not going to, then you're probably not going to hear it. Right. Unless they bang you over the head, you know.
And a lot of times the crises that we go to is them banging us over the head because they've been trying. It's like, okay, I'm not getting her attention. So bang, the accident happens, you know, because I need to do something to get her attention or his attention. But yeah, everything you say, we talk about all the time here. My son is in spirit. And he is my guest host. He's been gone. He's been in spirit now 5.5 years.
Okay.
I have physical proof he's still with us.
Right.
I have his voice from spirit. I have images of him from spirit.
Right.
And he says he's very proud of this show, and he's my co-host.
Yep.
So we have a closer, literally, because he was a grown man. When he transitioned, he was 29. When he was first diagnosed with congestive heart failure, he was 26, but he was living on his own. I saw him Mother's Day, Christmas, you know, holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, hey, Ma, how you doing? You know, bye, Ma. Now he's with me all the time. And I have physical proof that he's with me. And that was, it was his transition.
Mm-hmm.
That 6 months after his transition is when I launched my show, because I knew this was, my inner guidance was telling me, you need to do this show. You need to tell the world that we're not separate, we're one, you know? And so that all came from, but yeah, and it's that the ego mind, it's a useful tool. So our mind is a good tool, but when we let our mind, and most of us do, let our mind be in the driver's seat. So it's a heart. And this is, I don't know if you ever heard of heart math. If you haven't, you should check them out. Heart math, so it's one word, but the math in like is M, capital M in the middle. Heart Math Institute. You have to check them out. They have proven scientifically that our heart intelligence is far more intelligent than our brain intelligence. Okay, meaning we need to start living from our heart. And our heart intelligence are those silent whispered call the White House. That came from your heart intelligence. Not the head intelligence. The head intelligence, not the brain intelligence, is not going to tell you to call the White House. So our higher self, our spirit guides, are always speaking to us through our heart. And like I said, I love science because science has proven that our heart is much more intelligent than our brain. And so you want to put your heart in the driver's seat, but the brain in the passenger seat. So it's not like just get rid of the ego, get rid of the mind. It's a useful tool. But the best thing is what heart math calls is coherence between the heart and the mind.
Right.
The heart is the leader because the heart is, you get infinite wisdom in your heart. Mm-hmm. Electromagnet field, infinite mm-hmm. wisdom from the universe. You get your limited intelligence, your brain intelligence come from your limited experience in this reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extremely limited. Heart intelligence is limitless. Brain intelligence is limited, but mm-hmm. you want them in coherence. And like
right.
you said about the meditation, like for me, I'm getting better and better, especially this year, 2020. I do not miss a day where I meditate for at least 25 minutes. And for me, it's just, I'll put on like a high frequency because I know everything is vibration. So I'll put on something, a high frequency sound in the background, no words or anything, just a high frequency sound in the background to raise my vibration. And I focus on my breath. And yet sometimes my mind might wander. And if it does, I don't beat myself up. I was like, oh, okay, that's just a thought. Let it go and go back to. And the more I do it, the better I get at it. But everyone's unique. So
mm-hmm.
some people meditate while they're running. Some people meditate while they're working out. You know, it's whatever works for you, wherever where you're actually listening to that inner guidance coming from the heart and not allowing. See, we all hear it. But mm-hmm. we allow the brain to say, oh, that's stupid.
Well, or let me put this in front of you. All of us have thoughts all the time.
Yes.
Okay. And we all know what a thought is.
Yes.
But not every single thought is, because we are just so brilliant, which is right. Why I have trouble even using the word idea anymore.
Uh-huh.
I use inspiration. Now, if I had a thought, I'm going to make meatloaf. Is that my deceased mom telling me to make? Maybe, but it's Could not be. Every thought comes from them. Some come from us.
Right.
I tried to write a chapter about famous people who had realized that how they got to where they were was because they were inspired, they were directed, right, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from Oprah Winfrey and her aha moment, and maybe Carrie Underwood's a Christian, you cannot find anyone that will go on record talking about that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my intuitives in the book is from Beverly Hills. Her mom is a therapist to all of the stars, a psychotherapist. Okay. I talked to that woman and she said, Marianne, it's a taboo. They'll tell me after months of therapy that really they're spiritually guided to this place. That's why they're so successful. But they can't go on record as saying it's a taboo. And that's the other reason I'm talking with you today.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons Dean Radin and the other scientists have all been up against this taboo.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I think spirit guided me to interview all these intuitives and not use the word psychic so much, because immediately people will shut down. But that's one word for the ability.
Mm-hmm.
Is to put a face on this ability, to show them that you don't have to be this Long Island medium or this flavor of the day psychic. And not everybody is this gifted by far. It's like mm-hmm. a lot of people think they are, but maybe like they can sing, but how many can sing like an Adele, right?
Right.
But just to really take the taboo down about these people and paint their pictures, tell their stories, which is what I do in those chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but make people realize that every last one of us. And you don't have to be super pious or any of that, or even a good meditator like I'm not, because I'm a white knuckler. You can have access to this. It's right at your fingertips, and we are loved. And remember that, and just listen. But again, taking credit for every idea, for every advance, for every, even the title of this book, The Gift Within Us, as I mentioned to you.
Right.
The ego will get in, and you'll think of different things, and it. Just let it flow and it will come to you. Like the cover of my book, if you have seen it, I've sent you the picture.
Yes.
It is a gold bow and the book is white and it looks like a gift.
A gift. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it.
It's simple. You know why? Because so many of my friends that have written in many of the spiritual New Age books I've read, they'll have this universe on it or the cosmos or something else, which is great.
Yeah.
But my guides are like, stay away from the stereotypic New Age look,
mm-hmm.
because the audience you need to reach are regular everyday people. And that's why this is a gift that we all have. You don't have to be super gifted like the super gifted people I interview.
Right.
All of us have access to this and it's a beautiful thing. So
right.
That's that image of that bow came to me.
Yes.
The title of the book came to me.
Yes.
And I don't sit here and say, oh, I'm so brilliant.
Right. Well, I am in the exact same, we're in the exact same boat, because I know we all, like you said, I teach piano lessons. I've been teaching piano lessons for 28 years. Occasionally, I'll get a gifted student that's born gifted. They're the hardest ones to teach, actually, because they play by ear and they don't to teach, because I teach how to read and write music, and they're like, I don't need to read and write it. I know it by ear, you know. So they're the hardest teach. But like you said, I can't sing. You know, I can play the piano, I can't sing. So there, we all have unique talents that we're born with. But it's like you said, it's like it's finding, listening to that inner voice and following. My show, Awake to Oneness Radio, was completely given to me. Like I said, I launched the show completely from spirit guidance. The title of the show came completely from spirit guidance. And everything I do since my son's transition 5.5 years ago has been completely spirit guided. And society would say, what are you doing? You know, society would frown upon it. But I hear you say, like, things are taboo. But in truth, we're in 2020 now.
Yeah.
Things are far less taboo each and every month.
Mm-hmm.
Things are getting far less taboo.
It's accelerating.
Yes.
It still exists. But I want to say, and I won't say the name of the magazine.
Right.
It's a highly respected magazine. They had a cover story called Intuition. something about how our gut feeling is important or whatever. So I picked it up immediately, read it, well written, didn't see Dean Radin or anyone I knew in the research. And it talked about how, in the, just as you said earlier, intuitive thinking, conscious thinking, brain versus, it's both very important, but do not discount. In fact, you really should rely on the intuitive thinking a lot more. But I contacted the journalist and I said, I really want to talk to you because I'm writing this book. And right. He got back to me because I told him I interviewed intuitives, and he wrote back, I do not believe in psychic ability. He believes that all intuition comes from our brain.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I was like, oh.
Okay.
How can you? I believe that's fear. Yeah. I believe that's the taboo.
Right.
It's easier to think it's all here.
Right.
Than
right.
to understand that we're energy is coming to us, loving okay. energy. Loving
exactly.
energy.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I tell you, this just happened in the past little while, and I was like, right. How can you be a journalist and not get this? But this yeah. is what I'm saying. There are still, my book, which mm-hmm. this has a ban because it says not for publication. It's a proof copy, but there's the right. gift for both.
Yes, yes.
My book will not reach everybody.
Right, but it's okay. It'll reach the people that it will reach everybody it's supposed to reach. Oh, that was the other thing you mentioned that I meant to also speak on. My show... This show, I really want to reach the everyday Joe, the masses, because that's why I talk so much about science. I talk mm-hmm. about everything I believe in can be followed up with science.
Right.
So we're not talking about religious people, even with spiritual people. Let's talk the science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll start with something very simple science that I learned in seventh grade. Seventh grade, when my science, we were studying atoms and molecules. And I'll never forget my science teacher saying, nothing is truly solid. Now, mm-hmm. there's a desk in front of me. I'm sitting on the chair. And I'm thinking, and when he said it, that was an aha moment for me. Because I'm like, and I never forgot it. Because I'm like, what do you mean nothing's not? You put anything, and we know this. You put anything under a high-powered microscope, what do you see? You see mm-hmm. tiny moving particles that are not even touching, meaning right. what you're looking at is not solid.
Right.
And it has movement. It has life. Everything has life in it, that energy. So, and science has proven, like I opened the show, science has proven everything is energy. And I, yeah. we can't see with our physical eyes mm-hmm. that everything is energy and interconnected, but mm-hmm. it has been proven scientifically. So when people say, oh, I don't believe in it, I'm like, okay, you're going by your limited human senses, which science has proven that with our human five senses, we can detect, I think it's like 0.045% of what is actually around us.
Right.
So that there's gamma rays, microwaves, we can't see them, yeah. Wi-Fi. I mean, we know quantum physics. All new technology is based on quantum physics. The core of quantum physics is the interconnectedness of everything. Okay. Mm. But then people are like, I don't believe it. I'm like, okay. It's like, really?
Well, I want to say something to that, and with your piano story too.
Yes.
When that person who wrote the story, the cover story about intuition, said, I don't believe in psychics, I was thinking my analogy about people who sing. I don't say I don't believe in Adele.
Right.
She just can sing like that.
Yeah. So
these people, it's not they're touting that they're a new religion. They just happen to have been born that way.
Way, yes.
So it's not like whether he believes in it or not, it exists.
It exists, exactly, exactly. And I think about, I've had her on the show. Oh, Akiana, she popped out of the womb painting like at 3 years old. She's making these magnificent paintings. When she was 9 years old, I think she's been on Oprah a couple of times, but I think she was first on Oprah when she was six or nine or so. I mean, I've never seen paintings so beautiful. She never had an art class. She came out the womb being able to paint. You've got babies coming out being able to play Mozart out the womb. I mean,
yes.
You know, so for people to say, it's like,
I don't believe in it. I don't believe it. The other thing I want to tell you is talking about the audience. While there are going to be some people that never will go for this book, and there are people that listen to your show and that are really into this, there's a huge group. And you know what PEW Research is? They're like the biggest research group. They research everything in the country about whatever. But they found that the fastest growing category of individuals in spirituality is millennials, I think I mentioned this, that are called spiritual but not religious. They're turning away from traditional religion, but they're seeking that spiritual connection. It's the biggest growing group. The point is that large group, to take a book like this or your show and to shine the light into that dark corner, mm-hmm. that they're not sure, they're open-minded, but they don't know where to go. Right. That's who I want to reach with this book, with your show, with Dean's work. Yes. Sometimes people are young souls, and I'm not putting them down, but some of these people, mm-hmm. they're scared, they're in the taboo, they're never going to listen. Just God bless them, move on. But there's a large group that wants to know.
Exactly. And the great thing about it is you're right. Some people, I believe that this is a school, Earth school. We choose to come here. Some are old souls that have been through Earth school many, many times, and they're like at the graduate level. Some are new souls that have just been here a few times, and they're like, you know, and it's all good. It's like I used an analogy of watching a baby try to crawl or a baby try to walk. You see a toddler trying to walk and he falls a couple of times. All you can do is like, oh, he's so cute. I just love him. So mm-hmm. with people that are not open-minded, I just love them. The truth is there is time is an illusion. Einstein, who was one of the most brilliant 20th century minds, said time is merely an illusion, albeit a persistent one. The Power of Now, if you've never read it, by Eckhart Tolle, it's a must read. All there is the now. Everything is happening in the now. So we use time in this realm as a linear. We need it to get from point A to point B to point C. But everybody in truth is a divine soul. And if everybody in truth, they're going to get there. Doesn't matter when they're going to get there. No. You know they're going to get there. And so when they're, all I can do is send them love and light that will mm-hmm. help raise their vibration. I could do it silently, you know, just send them love and light silently to help raise their vibration, because I know we're interconnected, and me sending them love and light, they're going to receive it, and it's going to help them to awaken. But and also seeing each other, that other person that is unawakened and is new, a young soul, we'll call them, is another aspect of us. We were a young soul at one time. Mm-hmm. Now we're awakening.
I wanted to mention a couple things to you. Not everybody in my book was born gifted. One guy was a cop, coming from a cop family, tough guy. Mm-hmm. He got there in his late 40s. His family thought he was crazy. Mm-hmm. Robert Hansen, he's a fantastic medium.
Okay.
Another gal, Suzanne Giesman.
Oh, I've had Susan is a dear, dear friend of mine.
You know, military.
Suzanne, I gotta tell you real quickly. Suzanne, somebody recommended her in 2016. I had her, my son transitioned. I had never had a reading. I told myself when my son transitioned, I wasn't gonna go looking for one. That medium had to find me. Suzanne found me, gifted me on my son's birthday with a reading. And in that reading, we have my son's voice on tape from that reading with Suzanne Giesman.
She is in my book. You wouldn't believe the people in this book. You might know some of them from the work you do here, but they're all like amazing. Suzanne only came to it in her late 40s after a military career, flying around on Air Force One, when her daughter and stepdaughter, pregnant, was killed by a strike of lightning.
Yes.
Now she's this incredible medium. She's brilliant. She's wonderful. But the point is that not everybody came to it early. And some came to it early, but they were real estate agents their whole life because they were closeted, because they didn't want people to know.
Right.
I have a few people in my book that are gay. One, a Southern boy named Eddie Connor. He grew up in the South. He was beaten up for being gay, but he was far more bullied for being psychic. And so it's interesting. But a couple other things you said, Eckhart Tolle, Yes. My literary agent, Bill Gladstone, is friends with and represents Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
It's towards the end of our time, but another time I'll tell you the story. And Dr. Gary Schwartz has also had this happen. I have been contacted through a medium, don't think I'm crazy, by Albert Einstein. By Albert Einstein.
Oh, yes. Well, I know that Gary Schwartz is working with Albert Einstein. And also Sonia Rinaldi, if you're not familiar with her.
No, Anna Rinaldi.
No, Sonia. There's Sonia Rinaldi is a Brazilian researcher.
Okay.
Two shows with her, but she's working with Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla. And
I think also the gal that called me and the story's in a chapter in my book called A Valentine's Day Phone Call from Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I won't go into it now, we don't have time, but the woman who called me is I believe African American older lady who's a medium, lives on Long Island, hasn't been a medium for years, works with children, disadvantaged kids in soup kitchens. Okay. But she only channels Einstein, Nikola Tesla, and Alva Vanderbilt, who was a suffragette and whatever. She was in the women's movement. Mm-hmm. And she is just the sweetest one. But she called me on this morning of Valentine's Day, and it's the stories in the book, but I told Dean Radin and Dr. Schwartz about it, and I don't know about Dean, but Gary has been contacted numerous times by us, and my agent Bill has been contacted, and I wasn't, as a PR person, I thought, I can't put this in my book, people are going to think I'm crazy.
No,
but
because honestly, the times are changing so fast. I don't look at what's going on in mainstream. I look on my news is the internet and YouTube. And so the people are hungry for this. And so many more people are more and more. The number of people that are looking at this stuff as crazy is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, because they realize, wait a second, just like, oh, when you were using the example of, oh, the guy, who was it, that said that the earth was round and not flat, mm-hmm. I forget his name, but I thought of the Wright brothers.
Right, my book too, yeah.
Yes, the Wright brothers, who was, and people are like, we're never gonna fly. Okay, look at us. I mean, honestly, I think it's got to be now more people are open-minded to anything and everything. When you see, I mean, just look at the 1900s compared to 2000s. I mean, the technology, you know, it's just to say, oh, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. It's just so closed-minded. And nothing I do is geared to a closed-minded person. I'm like, this is, you know, it's just like, hey, I think they're going to catch up.
Well, when I first got this assignment, like spiritually, I'm like when I did all those years about domestic violence in the early 90s, I said, you want me to change the way people view domestic violence? It's a tall order, but okay. And then so similarly, I said, you want me to change the way people view psychic and intuitive ability? That's tough, but I'll do it. If I can, I'll do my best.
Right.
So the reason that I have these interviews, these stories about these gifted people, including Suzanne and others, you know, a lot of people do want a reading. In addition to having their own intuition, they want a reading. But it's how do I find somebody gifted? Now, right. I'm not a psychic directory. Can't stand exploitation of people like that. Don't like that. Right. However, all of the people in my book, at the end of the book, their contact information is in there. Right. Websites, phone numbers, emails. Yes. Because, and I don't, a lot of them are reasonably priced, but it's not about promoting their wares.
Right.
Just putting them in touch. If somebody wants a reading with, and again, highly gifted, but also equally important to me, super high integrity. Mm-hmm. There's not a person in my book that is there, self-promoting, just there for ego. That was a no-no.
Right.
No,
right.
Suzanne, you know what I mean.
Yes. And here's the thing, here's one of the things I love about Suzanne. Suzanne has a waiting list maybe 3 years long. So Suzanne's goal is right now, she's doing more workshops. She does weekend workshops. She does classes online, because we all do have the ability to contact our loved one in spirit.
Yes, we do. And not, yeah, some of these, Suzanne is at the upper echelon. I mean, I have people, a gal in Maine who doesn't even have a website.
Right.
She has a phone number, but she's fantastic. And that's another reason I didn't want, like, James Wollenprog's been around for 30 years. The man doesn't need me. But some people out there really, really, really want to be able to have a reading with somebody really gifted, which was kind of one of the reasons I wanted to include their information in there. There's people from all over the map. There's people from Australia and India and the West Coast, East Coast, different levels, but they're all highly gifted and high integrity.
Yes.
So people can have access to them if they want, which is,
and again,
there are these hotlines. I don't know where they're finding their psychic people. There's people that exploit psychics or fake. This is not that way. But I did feel it was important for people, because everyone says to me, Marianne, how do I find a really gifted person?
Right.
And again, it's word of mouth and all that, but their info is in the book, and people might find that appealing, because it is hard when you're out there looking to find someone.
Well, like I said, I'm a mom with a son that transitioned. And like I said, I knew the minute he transitioned, he wasn't gone. I knew I wanted a reading, but I personally did not look for one.
I said,
that medium has to come to me.
Right.
And she did. And it was so, I left myself open. So sometimes we have to trust that our higher selves, our spirit guides, will lead us to the right person, not putting so much pressure on it. Just give us silent, I want to be led.
Yes.
Close your eyes, ask your higher self, please lead me to the right person, and then trust that your higher self will.
Because and I agree with you 100%. Again, they love us.
Yes.
They want to help us. They want to guide us. We just have to be open. Understand first that we are loved.
Mm-hmm.
Take the ego down a couple pegs,
mm-hmm.
and listen, because it's not all about how brilliant we are. We are brilliant.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But
the ego,
if
we can understand to let our higher self, our spirit guide, our spirit team lead our life, and let our ego take the passenger seat, or sometimes even the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't let the ego be a back seat driver. Just let that when we put put things in the proper place, things will just I believe things will just go much more smoothly for us. We have to. It's also a trusting and understanding. I loved your analogy about the slippers, the ruby slippers, because I always know now that when you understand the power of now. When you understand everything is here and now, the answer and the journey and the destination are the same. They're all right here now. It's just where we focus our attention. Do you want to focus your attention on the problem, or you want to focus your attention on the solution? Because, and honestly, before we started this show today, I thought about that thought. The problem and the solution are side by side in the here and now. It's just where you focus your attention. So it's
I have
it right here and now.
And I agree with you. And when you think of the rigmarole that poor Dorothy went through.
Yes.
With the monkeys and all the crazy stuff that, oh my gosh, the poppies and who. Mm-hmm. There she was, right? But she had to believe it first. And
yes.
I think that's the first step. And it's more not so believing in intuitive ability. It's believing we are loved.
Yes.
And that. There are, I call it colleagues on this plane. As writing this book, I had colleagues on this plane helping me. Like Suzanne would tell me about other people, and Dean would tell me who I should interview and different.
Yes.
And there's colleagues on that plane.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm very, and sometimes I laugh because they have such a sense of humor.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes I feel like I have the writer's room from Saturday Night Live. They're cracking jokes and these inspirations. And you just become very kind of humble, and you're like so blessed to work with these amazing energies.
Yes.
Both here and there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And exactly. And truth. And I speak about this a lot. I've been doing the show for 5 years, but in the last 6 months, I've been doing talks myself, going out and doing talks about, it all focuses on the science, but it talks about how what we call physical, again, going back to that seventh grade science class, what we call physical is not physical. It's spirit on a denser. It's a lower vibration. What we call physical matter is still spirit, but it's a low vibration and it's very dense compared to spirit, to our loved ones that are in spirit. But when we understand that it is, like I said, everything is connecting. When I talk about everything, I mean the spirit world and the what we call the physical world, because it's not truly physical. It is connected. That's why we can communicate. And we are raising our vibration. We're opening our awareness. So now as we raise our vibration, we can meet our loved ones in spirit much easier. Like I said, I only really needed that one reading that was gifted to me on my son's birthday. I knew he was here, but I mean, now it's like, there's just, I have now so much physical evidence. Like Sonia Rinaldi gets images from spirit. My son has visited her at least 6 times, if not more. And I have images of my son from spirit, from Sonia Rinaldi. So you gotta check her out. And she's a pure she's not a scientist, she's a researcher. And she's extremely humble and just the most lovable person in the world.
Well, I once wrote a story about a gal I interviewed who is a medium, but she can sit with somebody, she draws the picture, and it's exactly the image of the person. She's never seen their photo.
Yes.
A spirit artist.
Yes, spirit artist. Yes, I've heard there's several a good spirit artists. I actually met one. No, I'm getting that mixed up with a photographer. Now, this was a spirit photographer that I met. But I know of some spirit artists that I haven't had one yet on the show, but I do want to have. Because, like you said, with your book, I've had some incredible gifted people in the spiritual realm and science. See, I love to balance the science with the spirit. And so I've had Suzanne Giesman several times on the show, other Suzanne Wilson, other really, really gifted psychics and mediums and channels, you know, and I know that they're genuine and the, you know, what they're sharing is coming from spirit.
Well,
we're connected to.
I'm going to be sharing. I'll share that person's info with you, and there, I'll get you a copy of this book. And okay. I want you to definitely some of the people to know you, and you to know them, because it's just we're a collective.
Yes.
You know, we're a group. It's not my book. It's kind of their book,
yes.
But we're all together with the same purpose, which is to raise positive awareness so people forget the taboo and open up and just listen and grow. And really, we're lucky who can be and just understand we're loved. Number one, it feels great. Number 2, we get these amazing insights sometimes, which we all get, but we don't discount them.
Right.
And here's
the thing. We're actually, the core of our being is love. Not that we are love. We are, the essence of us is love.
Right.
And so we're never separated from love. So what we call God, all that is my term for God. So whatever name you have for God, the divine, you're not separate. See, that's the thing. I went to Catholic school for 6 years as a child, and it never resonated with me. And when you look at it, I have nothing but the utmost respect for religion, but religion has God up here and us down here. It separates us. And when I understood the truth of oneness, I realized, wait a second. We're not separate from God, and we can never be separate from God. And I think that's the biggest once you understand, because that's what creates fear. If you're thinking, you can think that you're separate from God, but you can never truly be separate from God. And what creates fear, and we live our life from a state of fear, thinking we're separate from God.
Right, right.
Yes.
No, we're connected, and you and I align in thought so many ways. It's fantastic.
Yes. We definitely, there's so much I want to talk to you about. We definitely are going to, and we got to share information, because there's so much I want to share with you, and you have stuff to share with me. We got like, we're totally on the same page, and we live in the same state. You're just on the west side. On the east side of PA. Yes. Now, share with our listeners. Share your book again, the title of your book, and where they can find you and all your information. Share that with our listeners.
Okay, and I'm telling you, you are the first show. I did a show with Gary Schwartz over a year ago when I thought my book was about to be published, but we went, you're the first show in my kind of media thing.
Okay.
So, and I just was on with my web designer today, so we're tweaking the website. So when this show airs, it'll be all up on February, 28th, right?
Actually, I'm going to air it this weekend, this Friday, the 20th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, even faster.
For people that go and look, you'll see my website and there'll be information, but next week there'll be a button if you want to pre-order the book. I had to work that out today, but anyway,
okay.
my website is my name. It's just www.maryannbohrer, which I don't know if you put it on your
site. I'll definitely have the link. Yes.
It's MaryAnnBohrer.com. So you can go there and there'll be information about the book. And an email if you want to email me, because in a week's time, it'll be easier just to get it.
Okay.
But, and the book is called The Gift Within Us. The subhead is Intuition, Spirituality, and the Power of Our Own Inner Voice. And it has a big gold bow on it. So anyway, it'll be out on Amazon probably sometime in April, like officially, but okay. I'm getting it out pre-orders only for all of my intuitive friends and their followers and my scientists and their friends and people on shows like yours. They'll have the chance to pre-order it. And I'm going to be sending a little extra gift to people that pre-order, which are two chapters that I kept out of the book about how to find really gifted people and how to get the very best reading you can. I didn't feel like putting it in here, but it's on a tape that's just for people who pre-order that's going to be available. That'll be next week. When I thought this show was going to air, but that's okay.
I'm actually airing quicker now because I don't have, if I have a couple of shows already like in the queue, that's when I, but now I don't have any show in the queue. So you're up next. You're up to bat.
Well, we'll be in touch because I want to put you in touch with a lot of the people that I know that maybe you don't and vice versa.
Yes.
And I'd love to tell you my Einstein story in full because it's really fascinating, but especially with your love of quantum physics, you would be bowled over by the story. It's amazing. And then when I find out that Gary and my agent Bill have had similar experiences, I'm like, no.
Wow. Well, you know what? If you have time, tell me now after we end the show.
Okay. And if you like it, I'll do it on air. Okay. I will.
Okay. Awesome. This is my show. We could go as long as we want. I mean, so if you want to share it now, it's great.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Hey, go
All
for
right.
it.
So I'm going to tell you this. I've been writing this book for, a number of years. Again, it started with just writing about intuitives I knew, and organically my guides were like, okay, it's bigger than that, and it's going to involve talking about people and their own connection with spirit. But I'm writing this book. It's February of 2016. It's a very cold day, February 13th. Saturday, my daughter's in watching TV and my husband's in his upstairs home office. I'm in my second floor home office, typing away, writing the chapter about great minds throughout history who embraced intuition, like Carl Jung. Mm-hmm. There's been many who stepped up and embraced intuition. So I wanted to like talk about people like that. And my husband, who's very supportive, but not really that involved in the process. Mm-hmm. He's upstairs. He's always like listening to music, downloading music. He calls me upstairs and says, Marianne, come up quick. I have something to show you, which was like, never happens.
Okay.
And he said, and I ran upstairs and he sees on the screen are quotes from Albert Einstein about intuition. Hmm. Now, I'm researching all these great minds throughout, like Jung and others, but I didn't know Einstein was really connected to intuition. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband shows me these quotes and I'm like, wow, I didn't know Einstein was into that. So I said, but why are you showing me these quotes? I don't understand. It's not like he ever has done anything like it. He goes, I don't know. It just came to me. I just remembered I'd heard this about Einstein, thought this would help you. Mm. Now, again, he's wonderful, but this has never happened, not remotely.
Okay.
So I go back downstairs and I type up Albert Einstein in intuition, and up comes the third Google search thing down is a story that was in a magazine, which still exists, called The New Republic. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
It's an intellectual kind of think piece magazine, The New Republic. And this was a story from 1932. Now, Einstein was famous in 1932. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew the guy with the, you know.
Yes.
He was on vacation in Palm Springs. And And he had to share a limousine to a private event, a celebrity event, with a young lady who he didn't know. And it turns out she's a psychic. Her name was Jean Dennis.
Okay.
And so in the limo, she gives him an impromptu reading. Mm. He hadn't had a reading before.
Right.
And so I'm going to read from my book because I have to just read. So he says, he talks to the media about this after he goes, and by the way, the story in the New Republic about all this is putting Einstein down for like, for saying something positive about psychics. It's called Why Dr. Einstein? ? So mm-hmm. in the story, this guy, C. Hartley Grattan, the author who's putting Einstein down, says, Einstein was quoted as saying about the psychic, she told me things no one possibly could know, things on which I have been working, and she demonstrated to me that she has a power to do things I cannot at this time explain. Now, I must tell some of my associates about this. It was miraculous indeed. And then Grattan, the author, also quotes the psychic, Jean Dennis, in the same story as saying, Dr. Einstein is indeed the most remarkable person I've ever contacted, and his aura is just sublime. Pure blue electric sparks instead of color. It was just like talking to God. Mm. So Grattan, the author, says, calls Einstein's meeting with the psychic into question, writing, wonderful, wonderful. And so the scientific method goes crashing to the ground, and the world's greatest relativist becomes an endorser of a, quote, psychic vaudeville act.
Mm.
So he's saying, Einstein, man, you missed the mark because you said positive things about a psychic. The next month, which was April of this magazine, 1932, there's a letter to the editor. Do you know author Upton Sinclair? The name Upton Sinclair?
No, I'm not familiar.
Very famous journal writer, Upton Sinclair, wrote a letter coming to the defense of Einstein, a letter to the editor, and appears in the magazine the next month, and I'm going to read some of it. Okay. Sir, I have never met the young lady who gave a demonstration to Einstein, but I know that Einstein's own statement, quoted by Mr. Grattan in the New Republic of March 9, is strictly scientific. Einstein says that she told him things which no one could possibly have known normally. Einstein is the only person who could have passed that judgment, and it seems to me that a man of his standing has a right to expect us to assume that he did not make the statement lightly or unthinkingly. If it was so, he knew it was so, then he, and I love this part, then he had to choose between doing his duty as a scientist or shrinking from the ridicule of those who are content to judge without investigating, and who proceed upon the assumption that we know all there is to know about this universe and that certain happenings are impossible because they are new and not understood. So basically, he's saying, Einstein said what he believes. You can't put him down for doing that. So I'm thrilled beyond belief that I found this on the internet, that my husband told me about, right? I had no idea.
Well, so there's a very famous quote, and I can't quote it exactly, but it's an Einstein quote about how we cannot use the same mind that created the problem to solve the problem. It's a famous Einstein quote. It basically, that's the gist of the quote. We cannot use the same mind that created the problem. We cannot use that same mind to correct the problem.
Well, in my book, the very first quote is from Einstein's, not that one, okay, but he says, the workings of intuition transcend those of the intellect. And as is well known, innovation is often a triumph of intuition over logic.
Mm-hmm.
So believed in it. But anyway, I was buzzing because I found this Einstein, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, because I wanted to talk about people like Carl Jung and others who really were like Dean Radins of their time. And
right.
Taught against this.
Right. Right.
So
right.
We're going to go to dinner at our favorite little hamburger place with our daughter. So we went out and did that this Saturday night, this cold February, take her to a sleepover, drop her off, go home, go to bed. And I'm awakened at like 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
As sometimes, especially when I was writing this, they would get me up and I'd run in here and start writing things down.
Mm-hmm.
But I come in and I'm working for like 3 hours on this Great Minds chapter.
Right.
I research more about Einstein. Go back to bed around 7:30 because he's still sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I sleep for about a half hour and then I get up. It's 8:15 in the morning, Sunday morning. It's Valentine's. It's February 14th.
Right.
I barely dress. I think I just had underwear on. And I come in here to look at my email before I take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
8:20. The phone rings. I grab it because I'm thinking, is it my daughter having problem at her sleepover?
Right.
Who's
right.
calling me on a Sunday morning at 8:20? And right. I didn't want my husband to wake up. So I pick it up and this woman who I never talked to before says, good morning. I was doing my morning prayers and meditation, and I was inspired to call you and wish you a happy Valentine's Day by Albert Einstein.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Yes. I'm not making this up.
I believe you. It's so true, because like I said, I know that Albert Einstein is working with Dr. Gary and Sonia, and so also Tesla. They're working on that side of the veil, and we have scientists, credible scientists, working on this side of the veil. So it's, and even Einstein's I think his most famous quote about time, people would say time is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one.
Well, let me tell you a little bit more about this, because but I had no clue. I frankly had no clue. I knew, of course, he was a brilliant genius.
Right.
So anyway, she starts to tell me this, and I stop, because like you, I'm like, really? Albert Einstein? So, and again, I nearly lost it. And she says, and I was doing interviews for this book, so I had a tape recorder set up here. I always tell people I'm taping them when I interview, but I like to have it. But at that point, it wasn't on, so I'm taking notes. And she says, he wanted to tell you that you're on the right path with this project, and that you're a vessel of truth, whatever that means, and that you're being guided to the right people to include in this project, and that you're following your innate gut level feelings to verify that truth. And she said, and you recently parted ways with someone who would not have been good with this project. I won't go off into a tangent, but exactly 2 weeks before, one of the intuitives that was going to be in my book, a really close friend, let me know that she was very jealous that I had interviewed more people for the book, and she wanted to be the star of the book, or she was going to sue me.
Mm.
There's no star in my book.
No.
Okay, so but he said, you recently parted ways. How would he know that?
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes on and says, and you have a Native American guide who's helping you. And I say, okay, listen, stop. I said, okay, do you mind telling me, who are you?
Right.
And she says, my name is Edna. And I'm thinking, but a psychic in Boston told me I should interview a psychic name with an E name, because I got a lot of my people through word of mouth from Dean Radin and others. And I look up on my email, but the woman's name was not Edna, it was Aaron.
Mm.
So I start to say, okay, Edna. I said, what is your last name? And she says, Randall. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is her real name. And so I Google Edna Randall real fast while I'm in front of my computer. And a story from 2003 in the New York Times comes up about mediums. And they interview John Edward, Edna Randall, and others. So Edna Randall is a real medium. I never had heard of her.
Right.
I said, okay, so she's a real person. And I said, do you even know my name? Oh, I said, do you know what I'm working on? And she said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And I said, do you even know my name? She goes, no, but I know that one of your names is like my mother's name, Anne. Okay. So anyway, I said, this is the thing. I said, now my phone number is not only unlisted, Carolyn, it's in my husband's name. His last name is very different than mine. It is not poor, it's different. So there's no way to find my number unless you know me from somebody.
Right.
So she said, well, when he gave me the message that I'm going to give to you, which I'll tell you some of the message, just the first couple sentences, he also dictated your phone number to me. She said, and he gave it to me in sequences, 412-421. And then she goes, I thought that's odd, 412-421. And then he gave me the last three digits. And I don't want to say, you know, exactly my phone number here.
Yeah.
Okay. It was 3809. Yeah. And she said, and I thought, no, my number is 3889. She goes, but he told me, and I was going to say, but it's 3889. She said, but he told me to take the zero out between the 8 and the 9 and put in an infinity symbol.
An 8.
That was the number.
Right.
So I'm absolutely freaked out. And she says, but let me give you the message that he wanted me to give to you. By the time that this has happening, I turned on my tape recorder. So this is all on tape, by the way.
Okay, great. Awesome.
And I'm just going to read the first two sentences of the message. It's all on tape. And it gets a little technical, but listen to the first sentence. You will not believe this, because it's what you're saying.
Okay.
And her voice starts to lower. And she says, Madame. Who calls anyone Madame anymore? Madame, I am still focused on the agenda of bringing humankind to the highest, best good. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Madame, I am still focused on the agenda of bringing humankind to the highest, best good.
Yes, it was him.
He goes to say, it is about not destruction, but elevation of the illumination of consciousness. And then he goes into what consciousness is. And at the end, he talks about the importance of prayer and doing our work for God, not for man. It goes, so that's in the book. I thank God it's on tape. Okay. So I was shaking at the end of this. And I said, Edna, do you mind giving me your phone number? I'm kind of blown away. And I want to call you tomorrow. Is that okay? She goes, yes. So she gives me her phone number. She lives on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And I call her the next day, which I'll mention to you. I go into the shower. Again, I'm sitting here half naked, and Einstein's wishing me a happy Valentine's Day. So I go in to take my shower, and I look up at the ceiling, and I said to them,
yeah,
can you tone it down a little bit? This is too much for me to handle,
right?
Because it's funny almost. It's just, yeah, I have a sense of humor.
Yes.
So I take the shower. My husband gets up. I tell him about this, and he goes, it's got to be someone that wants to be in the book. Mm-hmm. And I said, this woman doesn't know, care about the book, da da da. And then he says, well, he said, I'll tell you something. Einstein came to me first because he gave me those quotes. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're absolutely right. Because the night before, remember the night before,
it
went into his head. So my daughter comes home from her sleepover and my husband says, hey, guess who called mom and wished her a happy Valentine's Day today? Albert Einstein. And my daughter did she was 14, like the eye roll, like she's heard it all before with what I do, right?
Right.
But it's so funny. And the next day I call Edna and I asked her and it turns out she does get these messages, not the same, very mm-hmm. specific, that she does call other people sometimes, not all the time, and tells them. And if they're not ready to hear it, she apologizes for disturbing them and says, I'm sorry to bother you. But she does do this. She works in the soup kitchen and everything. And I said, but what, why? And then she doesn't do mediumship stuff anymore, just channeling these three entities. I said, but why would he call me? And she said, he wanted to confirm that what you're doing has a very good purpose and it's going to help mankind. Mm. He wanted to give you that validation.
Right. Wow.
There's my story. Isn't that bizarre? And I write in the book, hey, you might think I'm nuts, but this is exactly what happened. You draw your conclusions.
Yeah. You know what? Don't worry. You know what?
I'm not worried about it.
Don't worry about what people think. Honestly.
No, I got my guide said, forget it, Marianne. Put the story. It's time. But isn't that a great, it's funny as heck too.
Yes, it is amazing. It's amazing because they are truly, they're truly trying. There's so many scientists like Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla. I've heard that even, because you know that Nikola Tesla and Edison had issues when they were here. They're working together now, you know, in spirit. They're working together. They cleared up all their issues. We're good. Let's work together, you know? Yes.
Well, the truth is easier to see over there. We're white clean when we come here. It's difficult. But I love when he says, I'm still focused on the agenda of bringing humankind to the highest, best good. And he's got his sleeves rolled up, and he's working with us and Gary and calling me on the phone on Valentine's Day.
Yes. Wow. I'm almost... That's amazing.
Isn't that a cool story?
That is amazing. That is truly amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not the only one, though.
Yeah. But like I said, I know he's working with both Gary and Sonia. So Sonia is someone you need to check out, and we're going to keep in touch because we're gonna share some information together.
Yes. Okay, we will.
Yes. So thank you again. I'm so glad Dean recommended you to me because that's how you found me.
Yep.
So thank you so much.
That's how we find one another. Once you get into this thing, connections are made fast.
Yes. Very.
And we all help each other get the word out for the greater good, frankly.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited. So we will, like I said, this will be up. I'm going to send you all the stuff to share and put it on your website as well.
Oh, and just so you know, I may be doing a big event in New York. Remember I told you that press conference? I may do a 20th anniversary of the Millennium event in New York City in April for the press. And okay. I think a number of the people in this book, including Dean and Gary and the intuitives, are coming. And we're going to do another press conference. What's happened in the last 20 years since the 2000, and what's going to happen in the next 20 years?
Okay. You don't have a date for that? Because I would definitely love to be there.
I will let you know. Okay. It's going to be probably late April, early May, like on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm getting the I'm not going to have any of the intuitives or Gary or anyone buy a ticket unless I have like a ton of media. And mm-hmm. I mean Time Magazine, New York, I want them all there. And yes. I don't want to make them fun of psychics.
Right.
So I'm working that right now.
Okay.
But I think it's got, I have the venue, the people are giving it to me for free in 34th Street. So
awesome.
I'm ready to go with this. But it's 20 years since Y2K. It's, yeah. We have to know.
Right.
So and
you just said 34th Street. I have actually, I'm writing my first book, and there's a chapter in my book called Miracle on 34th Street. And I won't go into it now, but yes, not in it, but it was the miracle on 34th Street in Philadelphia, not New York. But it was a miracle at Christmas time on 34th Street. So I have
that's where my first event was on 34th and 8th, yeah, and yeah. We're doing it again. They've given me the venue for free. God bless them. Mm-hmm. This business. So yeah, I mean it's hard work, but I want to make sure that happens. And Dean said, well, it's a launch. It's a book launch. It's not just a book launch. It's to get all these great minds together to work to raise awareness so that we all. Yes, my book will be there.
Yes,
if anyone's looking a book, they can bring their book.
Right. Definitely. No. What we're all doing here, and all my guests, we are working to truly raise the consciousness of humanity. And it is happening. We are in a midst of a consciousness shift. We are in the midst of a humanity awakening. And when humanity awakens, and the thing about it is multidimensional meaning. Not everybody's going to make the cut, meaning those that are raising their awareness, it's going to make the cut. We're going to find ourselves in a different reality. Those that are not ready to awaken, which is okay, because they will awaken at some point. They may just not have chosen to awaken in this lifetime. They might want to go through another, you know, a couple more rounds in the 3D, but it's truly happening. I do not think about the naysayers at all. They are so far not in my mind. So.
No, but there's that large group that doesn't know where to go. They want the yearning for the connection so we can help shine that light for them in that corner.
Exactly. And exactly those that are going to find us, find your book, find this show, they will be led to us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is amazing. But so we're going to say bye for this minute, but we're going to keep in touch.
Okay. I'll be back in touch with you. What is today? Wednesday? Thursday? Wednesday. In the next several days.
Okay. All right.
All right, okay. All right, my dear. And make sure my contact info is up on your site. And I love your show. And we'll be in touch soon.
Yes. Very, very soon.